Okay. Very good. We're coming back in from the break. This is the second hour of the Barden Report. PJ Barden is my name, and we're here today on this Saturday, third day of October 2020. And just because I'm lining up other stuff, we'll play this one now to get through the list. Ken, you have there. I've only one from Tucker Carlson today. It's 5 minutes 40 on President Trump testing positive, just to give a review of that. Tucker Carlson there. It's
across the world tonight, people are praying that we will learn good news about the president's condition. Over at CNN, however, we were told again and again that the president deserved the sickness that he got, and they trotted out the usual hacks to explain why he deserved it.
A lot of people have been put in jeopardy by the president's behavior, and now we've learned, of course, this morning that one of those people is the president himself.
But he just couldn't get over the fact that, in his mind, the mask equals weakness equals I'm not on top of this virus.
So perhaps a bit of a shock this morning for Americans, but not necessarily a surprise.
It is also the most vivid possible demonstration of the incompetence and the irresponsibility of the administration.
In large part, it's his own dereliction is partly to blame for this. He chose to go out to rallies.
Imagine. He just announced he was infected. He just got to Walter Reed. He deserved it. They didn't wait long. Of course, millions of Americans have been diagnosed with the coronavirus, probably people you know, probably people in your family. We can say that. Hundreds of thousands have died. CNN's expert panelists are saying they all deserved it. They must have. They were careless. They were derelict in their duties. If there was a lesson from the coverage of this, it's a very familiar lesson. The media class is willing to attack the rest of the country if they think it will hurt the president they despise, if they think it will give them more political power. And, of course, it wasn't just the media. In fact, the official message of the Democratic Party is that Donald Trump had it coming.
We all receive that news with great sadness. I always pray for the president and his family that they're safe. I continue to do so more intensified. This is tragic. It's very sad. But it also is something going into crowds, unmasked and all the rest, was sort of a brazen invitation for something like this to happen.
Brazen invitation. He asked for it. He was dressed provocatively. That's what Nancy Pelosi has told you. Many other Democrats are echoing that sentiment. Rick Leventhal has been following this reaction from the Democratic Party. He joins us tonight to explain more. Rick?
Hey, Tucker, there are a lot of people wishing the president and first lady well on Twitter, sending thoughts and prayers for a speedy recovery. But no surprise, the haters are not holding back, actually saying they hope the first couple die. And Twitter says it's immediately removing those messages because they violate policy. Here's one from former Obama staffer Zara Rahim, who shared this and then apparently self-deleted a post reading, "It's been against my moral identity to tweet this for the past 4 years, but I hope he dies." Then there's Steve Cox, an independent candidate for California's 39th district, who posted numerous tweets wishing death on the president and then wrote, by quote, "I hope they both die. I was talking about Trump and Biden, not Melania. She seems nice." And former Elizabeth Warren staffer Max Berger wrote, "Trump has destroyed millions of lives. He deserves none of our sympathy." Some Twitter users have compiled a library of mean tweets wishing the worst on the president, and there are too many of them to count, Tucker. In a statement, Twitter says, "Content that wishes, hopes, or expresses a desire for death, serious bodily harm, or fatal disease against an individual is against our rules." And Twitter says it will prioritize the removal of content when it has a clear call to action that could cause real-world harm. That's a quote. Meanwhile, the president's tweet announcing he had the virus was his most popular ever, at last count, tallying 1.7 million likes, Tucker.
Unbelievable. Rick Leventhal, thank you.
Sure.
If you find yourself rooting for someone's death, anyone's death, it's time to pause and take stock of how your own soul has rotted. We're all going to die in the end. And trust me, as we do, we're going to regret thinking things like that about other people. We actually debated whether or not to put that on the air tonight. It's so ugly. In general, our view is don't put things on TV that are that ugly. But we felt we should because it is everywhere today. And we want you to know why. There are some who are rooting for the president's demise and the vice president's demise so that Nancy Pelosi might become president. That sounds insane, and it is, but they put it on MSNBC anyway. Watch.
This is a very serious health threat. You are second in line for the presidency. Has the White House contacted you about the continuity of government?
CNN had a similar message today. So this is political opportunism, obviously, but it's more than that. It's spiritual sickness. Hatred, festering hatred, has driven these people bananas, truly. On CNN today, Connecticut Senator Chris Murphy, who sits in the United States Senate, proved the point better than we ever could. Here's what he said.
If President Trump can't be out there on the campaign trail for the next 2 weeks, then he is going to rely on his surrogates. And unfortunately, one of his surrogates is Vladimir Putin. So you are likely going to see this campaign ramped up by Russia over the next few weeks to try to substitute for the president's absence on the campaign trail.
I'm sorry. Again, we apologize even for playing garbage like that. The president of the United States is in the hospital with a life-threatening illness. He seems to be fine, but you don't know. And that buffoon is on television saying Vladimir Putin is one of his surrogates. Probably some teenage assistant wrote that for you, thinks it's clever. We put that on the air because we want you to know what they're saying, as the president was flown to Walter Reed tonight. What does that even mean, by the way?
Okay. Is that it? Yeah, okay, that's finished. Okay. But, yeah, the under the guise of pretending they're praying for the president, they're working actively to destroy the election. And, again, this thing of the ballots. I can't believe that Trump didn't bother his rear end to clean up the voting thing. You're saying the president and the administration have no power to clean up the postal vote mess. It was a mess last time around and several other times before it. And it could hijack the election away from him. They are doing it on such a scale. And if there's more Supreme Court inquiries into this, that, and the other, and each state holding inquiries where Democrats are in control, as I say, this election could not possibly be concluded till the middle of the year. And that was on the cards even before the COVID thing came into play at all. But shocking. But John Whitehead is saying here, the election has already been hijacked, John Whitehead. And he's saying his free election of masters does not abolish the masters of the slaves. And he's quoting somebody from some of that. Republicans and Democrats alike fear that the other party will attempt to hijack the election. President Trump is convinced that the mail-in ballots are a scam, except in Florida, where it's safe to vote by mail because of its great Republican governor. Yeah, right. The FBI is worried about foreign hackers continuing to target and exploit vulnerabilities in the nation's electoral system, sowing distrust about the parties, the process, and the outcome. I, on the other hand, this is John Whitehead speaking, I'm not overtly worried that after all the voting booths have already been hijacked by a political elite comprised of Republicans, Democrats, who are determined to retain power at all costs. The outcome is a foregone conclusion. The deep state will win and the people will lose. And this is the damage that's already been done. The Department of Homeland Security, the DHS, which has been tasked with helping to secure the elections and protect the nation against cyber attacks, is not exactly an agency known for its adherence to freedom of principles. After all, this agency, the NHS, DHS, largely responsible for turning the American Republic into a police state. Since its creation, the DHS has ushered in domestic use of surveillance drones, expanded the reach of fusion centers, stockpiled an alarming amount of ammunition, including hollow point bullets, urged Americans to become snitches through a see something, say something campaign, overseen the fumbling antics of the TSA agents everywhere, militarized the nation's police, spied on activists and veterans, distributed license plate readers and cell phone trackers to law enforcement agencies, contracted to build detention camps, carried out military drills and lockdowns in American cities, conducted virtual strip searches of airline passengers, established constitution-free zones, border zones, funded citywide surveillance cameras, and undermined the Fourth Amendment at every turn. So no, I'm not losing a night's sleep over the thought that the election might be any more rigged than it already is. I'm not holding my breath in the hopes that the winner of this year's popularity contest will save us from government surveillance, weaponized drones, militarized police, endless wars, SWAT team raids, asset forfeiture schemes, over-criminalization, profit-driven private prisons, graft and corruption, or any of the other evils that masquerade as the government, government business these days. You see, after years of trying to wake Americans up to the reality that there is no political savior who will save us from the police state, I've come to realize that Americans want to engage in the reassurance of ritual voting. Yeah, we'll just pause it there anyway. Anyway, I got a caller, Ken in New York. Hello, Ken. Yo.
Hi, PJ. I would just make one exception to that rule. I wouldn't have a problem wishing that Fauci slipped on a banana peel.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, the entire scientists that they quote as scientists have X, Y, and Z degrees, but they're all placemen. They were placed by Big Pharma in these positions over the year, ratcheted up, and then they're, as we have in Britain here, proof. They're just pimps for Big Pharma. And get this lockdown done, get people wearing masks, get people subservient, and get used to martial law, etc., etc.
Yes, and to boot, they all appear to have the psychopathic amorality about them.
Oh yeah, that goes without saying. This is demonic, and it's the mark of the beast is in this as well. The vaccine passport, that is the mark of the beast wrapped up in a new form. And it's on many forms, right? And soon, if they get their way, you won't be able to go on the internet unless you've got an iris photograph of your eye. You know, what do you call it, technology, and et cetera. So that's what they're aiming for. So we're doing a great job here of describing our demise, aren't we? But no action.
Yes.
No action, people. But we're long past... petitions and the rest. This has to be people rising up to take their country back. There's no other way to do it. Absolutely no other way. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you, PJ. Good night.
Okay. Thank you. But anyway, John Whitehead continues on. They want to be persuaded that this is the voters. There's a difference between Republicans and Democrats. There's not. Well, the Democrats are so far out, but the Republicans are just quiet mice sitting in the Congress answering to their financial sponsors, but they're not doing anything. Will they get this vote through for the Supreme Court justice? If they don't, they're screwed. Some will swear that Donald Trump has been an improvement on Barack Obama. He is not. Others are convinced that Joe Biden's values are different from Donald Trump's. With both of them, money talks. Most of all, voters want to buy into the fantasy that when they elect a president, they're getting someone who truly represents the citizenry rather than the deep state. In fact, the oligarchy, that is the American police state, the elite group of wealthy donors, is calling the shots. Well, we just described it about the size of the deep state in cooperation with the political elite. The sad truth is that it doesn't matter who wins the White House because they all work for the same boss. Corporate America understands this so very well. Well, they own them. And splitting their donations between Democrats and Republicans. Politics is a game, a joke, a hustle, a con, a distraction, a spectacle, a sport. And for many devout Americans, a religion, it is a political illusion aimed at persuading the citizenry that we are free, that our vote counts, and that we actually have some control over the government, when in fact we are prisoners of the corporate elite. Yeah, everything is coming at people, not from people. Nothing coming from people. In other words, it's a sophisticated ruse aimed at keeping us divided and fighting over two parties whose priorities more than not are exactly the same, so that we don't join forces and do what the Declaration of Independence suggests, which is to throw the whole lot out and start over. It's no secret that both parties support endless war, engage in out-of-control spending, ignore the citizenry basic rights, have no respect for the rule of law, and bought and paid for by big business, care most about their own power, and have a long record of expanding government and shrinking liberty. Most of all, both parties enjoy the intimate, incestuous history with each other and with the moneyed elite and the rule of that rule this country. despite the jabs in the candidates volley at each other. I thought he was talking about the vaccination. No, he's talking about them. Their verbal abuse at each other for the benefit of cameras. They are a relatively chummy bunch away from the spotlight. Moreover, despite Congress' so-called politics gridlock, our elected officials seem to have no trouble finding common ground when it comes time to collectively kowtow to the mega corporations, lobbyists, defense contractors, and other special interest groups to whom they have pledged their true allegiance. 14,000 lobbyists in Washington. So don't be fooled by the smear campaigns and the name calling or drawn into the divide and conquer politics of hate. They're just useful tactics that have been proven to engage voters and increase the total voter turnout while keeping the citizenry at each other's throats. It's all a grand illusion. Sure. And he goes on to say, it used to be that the cogs and the wheels and gears shift in the government machinery works to keep the republic running smoothly. However, without our fully realizing it, the mechanism has changed. Its purpose is no longer to keep our republic running smoothly. To the contrary, this particular contraption purpose is to keep the deep state in power. Its various parts are already a corrupt part of the whole. Just consider how insidious, incestuous, beholding to the corporate elite, the various parts of the mechanism have become. And he goes through the list. Congress, perhaps the most notorious offenders of the most obvious culprits in the creation of the corporate state. Congress has proven itself to be both inept and at various oblivious champions of the authoritarian system that is systematically demanding their constituents' fundamental rights. Long before they elected congressmen are trained to dance to the tune of their wealthy benefactors, so much so that they spend two-thirds of their time in office raising money. As Reuters reports, for many lawmakers, the daily routine in Washington involves fundraising as much as legislating. The culture of nonstop political campaigning shapes the rhymes of the daily life in Congress, as well as the landscape around the Capitol. It also means the lawmakers often spend more time listening to the concerns of the wealthy. Well, we know that. The president, what Americans want in a president and what they need are two very distinct, different things. The making of a popular president is an exercise in branding, marketing, and creating alternative realities to the consumer, a.k.a. The citizenry. And that allows them to buy into fantasy about life in America that is utterly divorced from our increasingly grim reality. Take President Trump, for instance, who got elected by promising to drain the swamp in Washington, D.C. Instead of putting an end to the corruption, however, Trump has paved the way for lobbyist corporations, the military-industrial complex, and the rest of the deep state, also referred to as the seventh-floor group, to feast on the carcass of the dying American Republic. A lesson to be successful, president, it doesn't matter whether you keep your campaign promises, sell the American people to the highest bidder, or march in lockstep with the corporate state, as long as you keep telling people what they mostly want to hear. And it comes to the Supreme Court. The U.S. Supreme Court, once the last refuge of justice, the one governmental body really capable of rolling back the slowing emerging tyranny evolving in America, has instead become the champion of the American police state, absolving government and corporate officials of their crimes while relentlessly pushing the average American for exercising their rights. Okay, we go to this break, and we'll be back in a few minutes with John Whitehead's script.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. with all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, no child left behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
After about a month of Extendovite, I don't know what it is about the circulation factor. I was able to increase the weight, increase the amount of sets I could do. It has to do with the oxygen getting to the blood. You should market this as an athletic performance. And I don't change anything about my diet or anything. I just thought, this is amazing. Bilberry extract has got something called resveratrol in it, which is the same stuff that you get from red wine. It's also good for eyesight. And I was reading that the Royal Air Force during World War II would give their pilots bilberry jam so they could have better night vision stuff. This is amazing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Okay, we're coming back in from the break, and we're just nearly finished. Well, John Whitehead's piece. I'll just go back to a few lines. He's saying the Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court, is once the last refuge of justice, the one governmental body really capable of rolling back the slowly emerging tyranny, evolving, eloping America, and. Has instead become the champion of the American police state, absolving government and corporate officials of their crimes while relentlessly pushing the average American for punishing the average American for existing, for exercising his rights. Like the rest of the government, the court has routinely prioritized profit, security, convenience over the basic rights of the citizenry. Indeed, law professor Erwin Chemerinsky makes a compelling case that the Supreme Court, whose justices have overwhelmingly come from the positions of privilege, almost unerringly throughout its history, sides with the wealthy, the privileged, and the powerful. Yeah. The media, of course, this triumvirate of total control would be completely ineffective without the propaganda machine provided by the world's largest corporations. Besides shoveling drivel down our throats at every possible moment, the so-called news agencies, which are supposed to act as bulwarks against government propaganda, have instead become the mouthpiece of the state. The pundits which pollute the airways are at best court jesters and at worst propagandists for the false reality created by the American government. When you have internet and media giants such as Google, NBC, Universal News, Turner Broadcasting, Thomson Reuters, Comcast, Time Warner, Viacom, Public Radio International, and the Washington Post Company donating to political candidates, you no longer have an independent media. What we used to refer to as the fourth estate that can be trusted to hold the government to account. It is a write-off. We've never had such a failure of journalism in the last 5-10 years. Shocking. The American people is coming to we, the people, now belong to a permanent underclass in America. Doesn't matter what you call us, chattel, slaves, worker bees, it's the same. What matters is that we are expected to march in lockstep with and submit to the will of the state and all matters public and private. Well, the private state and the multinationals have joined together in fascist grip. Unfortunately, though, our complicity in matters large and small, we have allowed an out-of-control corporate state apparatus to take over every element of American society. We are playing against a stacked deck. The game is rigged, and we, the people, keep getting dealt the same losing hand. The people dealing the cards, the politicians, the corporations, the judges, the prosecutors, the police, the bureaucrats, the military, the media, etc., have only one privileged prevailing concern, that is to maintain their power and control over the citizenry while milking us of our money and possessions. It really doesn't matter what you call them. Republicans, Democrats, the 1%, the elite, the controllers, the masterminds, the shadow government, the police state, the surveillance state, the military-industrial complex, so long as you understand that while they are dealing the cards, the deck is always stacked in their favor. And he says, as I say in my book, Battlefield America, which is what he wrote, describing all of this so many years ago, and it's very relevant today. Our failure to remain informed about what is taking place in our government, to know and exercise our rights, to vocally protest, to demand accountability on the part of government representatives, and at the minimum to care about the rights of our fellow Americans has been our downfall. That now we find ourselves once again caught up in the spectacle of another presidential election, and once again the majority of Americans are acting as if the election will make a difference and bring about change, as the new boss will be different from the old boss. Yeah. Well, we know about that. Trump has a foot in both camps, including Barr, his attorney general. Shocking. When in doubt, just remember what astute commentator George Carlin had to say about the matter. The politicians are, apart from Jay Leno's statement, showbiz for ugly people. The politicians are put there to give you an idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own the control of the corporations. No, the corporations own them, sorry. They're long since bought and paid for Senate and Congress. The state houses, the city halls, they got the judges in their back, and they own all the big media companies. So they control just about all the news and information you get to hear. They got you by the you know what. They spend billions of dollars every year lobbying to get what they want. Well, we know what they want. They want, and last paragraph, they want more for themselves and less for everybody else. But I tell you what they don't want. They don't want a population of citizens capable of critical thinking. They don't want well-informed, well-educated people capable of critical thinking. They're not interested in that. It doesn't help them. That's why they're trying to dumb down everything. That's against their interests. They want obedient workers, people who are just smart enough to run the machines and do the paperwork. It's a big club, and you ain't in it. And you and I are not in the big club. The table is tilted, folks. The game is rigged, and nobody seems to notice. Okay, we go to the bottom of the hour break, and we'll be back in a minute. Okay.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to aroutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Back in after the break, and we have Josh phoning back in to make us an important point. Is it Josh in Minneapolis? You give him a minute or two, okay? Hello.
Yeah. Hi, Mr. Barton. Yeah, try to be real quick. I wanted to say earlier. I just wanted to get into the there seems to be a lot of, you know, I hear all the time we're talking about the Jews. A lot of people like to blame stuff on the Jews. It seems like, no matter what you think is going on right now, I think there is a new right being formed, and it's just kind of like the same as sort of back in the day with same as Nazi Germany, where they did have an Antifa, they did have sort of a left-right paradigm there, and eventually Antifa was, you know, they were crushed. And I think I worry about the same thing happening nowadays, and the Jews, I think there are Jews that are being put out there in the public to make people think that Jews are running things, you know, like you mentioned before, Goldman Sachs and everything. But I think that's like the ultimate goal. I think these people are very clever. They're putting these people out there so they can then blame the Jews. And so I believe that
I don't know how long you've been listening to LBN. The financial two industries that they dominate is Hollywood and the financial services, right? That's pretty powerful stuff, right? considering their size and population.
I don't know about
that's real.
If you notice the ratings, the movie rating system, that was always dominated by the church, by the Catholic Church, the Jesuits. And
I don't know
after
if that's
a while,
the case,
yeah. They eventually allowed them.
I can answer this for
you.
I can answer this for you and give you a very good lead. I play some of his stuff. I have one of his things. We might get to it today. Steve Turley has a massive. He's a doctor of divinity, but he doesn't proselytize anybody. But he's been monitoring very professionally with very good survey people all around the world, the recovery in conservative views and Christian beliefs. It's coming very strong back across Europe, across the East, across the West. And if you listen to Steve Turley on YouTube, he does 10, 15 minutes, two a day, actually, and he does sometimes one-hour pieces, etc. But that he deals with that, and he does a very good job, okay? So you can put that in perspective. But we've been at this a long time. I've been at this from the mid-80s, right? And it's just what I read out there, if you're listening to John Whitehead, who puts things very clearly together. All of these organizations have been infiltrated by money, 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 money. And it's multinational corporations. The people have no power unless they rise up and take their country back. Okay, I got to leave it there, okay?
Can I just get in, like, two more seconds? So you think about Ivan Farben, these companies, and the Knights of Malta back then, and you talk about the head of the CIA with John Dulles and General Reinhardt from the German intelligence agency. They basically set up the CIA back then, and I think that
we know all that. We've covered that 1,000 times. We know that. We know how rotten the agencies are. You're only picking up bits of this, you know. But there's an archive on RBN.
These agents were already there, and they set up, and then they put these Jews out there to make people want to blame. But what I worry is going to happen.
Well, there's all sorts of intrigue everywhere.
Hold on.
That's not the lead item. You're getting this in bits and pieces. But anyway, I have to leave it there. Anyway, I have a lot of stuff to do today. Okay, we'll move on. Okay. I just say to Ken, I've resent the Laura Ingraham piece, which we're going to play now. I sent it first, it had no link, so I resent it there just now. If you open up the Laura Ingraham link, Riot in the Court, one has no link, one has. Okay, you got that?
For decades and decades, okay, conservatives have been disappointed by the Supreme Court's turn from being a fairly apolitical institution that calls balls and strikes and leaves most of the big policy decisions to elected officials, to an activist body pressing liberal social goals on the rest of us. Now, reading Miranda rights into the Constitution, that was one thing. But in 1973, everything changed with Roe versus Wade. Justice Harry Blackmun and six others used the Due Process Clause of the 14th Amendment to strike down a state law prohibiting abortion, which then took the issue away from all 50 states. And nothing has been the same since. More than any other, that case set the precedent for the court to act as kind of a super legislature to impose a new social order on the American people. But when unelected life-tenured judges ended up taking power away from the people and exercising it themselves, that created a huge fissure in America. Our framers never envisioned that a handful of unaccountable jurists would have such outsized influence. But that's exactly what happened. Now, conservatives have been patiently waiting and patiently working to repair this damage to our constitutional system for as long as I've been alive, they've been trying. So they've marched, they've raised money, and we've all voted for candidates who promised to restore the separation of powers to its rightful place. But often, we've come up short. Too often, justices nominated by Republicans end up evolving to the left. From William Brennan, an Eisenhower nominee, to Warren Berger, one of Nixon's picks, to David Souter, of Bush 41 fame, and John Roberts, a Bush 43 appointee. In seminal cases, they abandoned the principle of judicial restraint and joined the activist liberals. Now, one of my earliest memories as a young Reagan administration staffer was watching the Robert Bork hearings. That was back in 1987. What they did to him was vicious political blood sport, and Republicans weren't ready then to fight back. Well, a few years later, he warned about judges becoming social justice warriors.
There are two kinds of justice. One, the kind that justice the judges should be concerned with is justice under law, which means applying the law fully and fairly. There's a higher justice, which is justice according to morality, and that is really not for judges. That is for our legislators and for ourselves to enact our principles of morality into law, which the judges should then respect and apply.
Well, Democrats savaged him because they didn't like the fact that he was a strict constructionist, while they were motivated solely by their desire to protect their holy grail of abortion. They rejected his nomination, and Anthony Kennedy went to the court instead. Justice Kennedy was a very nice man, but he then spent decades disappointing the voters who put Reagan in office. But conservatives soldiered on within the constitutional framework. And we were told that we had to get control of our own party and then win at the ballot box to effect change at the court. Well, that's what we did. And we did it with Trump's victory in 2016. And now that we have the chance to put a fifth judicial conservative on the court, I no longer count Roberts as one, Democrats are threatening to blow up the entire system, hence the title of the angle, Riot at the Court. They claim that if they win the Senate, they'll pack the court by adding new justices, expanding it. Something, by the way, that hasn't been threatened and tried since 1937, when FDR tried and failed to mold the court in his favor.
Let this moment radicalize you. If Mitch McConnell is not going to honor RBG's final wish, we will.
The Democrats are saying, well, we'll just pack the court. What would the impact
be? Look, you've essentially cheated and stolen over two seats, the Scalia seat and now this one. And I think they'd be well within their rights to do so.
I think additional justices need to be placed on the Supreme Court.
This is just unbelievable. It's outrageous. So Ruth Bader Ginsburg passes away at the age of 87. The Constitution gives the sole right to nominate her replacement to the sitting president, who is Donald J. Trump, period. And if his party has control of the Senate, they have enormous power to move a nominee to a full Senate vote, period. They didn't get these powers by accident. It wasn't a mistake. They got them from the voters who gave President Trump over 300 electoral votes and who gave Republicans 53 senators in the Senate. That's how our system works. But now the left would have us ignore the entire constitutional system because of something the deceased justice supposedly said in her final days?
Her last wishes, waiting until the voters decide who will be the next president before pushing ahead to fill her seat.
She said, my most fervent wish is that I will not be replaced by until a new president is installed. We believe that.
Brazenly defying the dying wishes of a woman who spent her life devoted to realizing the full promise of the Constitution.
The full promise of the Constitution is in the Constitution. Imagine if we took that attitude at any of the, I don't know, 500 occasions when we lost a big case at the court, or when Bork's nomination went south, or maybe after they horribly mistreated Brett Kavanaugh. Imagine if we had reacted like they did. The Democrats would have been screaming bloody hell. Oh, and by the way, since they don't like the fact that the GOP has a 53-47 majority, they're also threatening to pack the Senate. That's something that's never been attempted.
They can abolish the filibuster. They can grant statehood to D.C. and Puerto Rico.
We talk about things like court reform, statehood for D.C., Puerto Rico. None of that happens if the Democrats do not take back the Senate.
What we'll do is very simple. We'll add D.C. and Puerto Rico as states. That's four new senators.
Oh, why stop there? Why stop at four? Come on, keep it going. Oh, by the way, it gets worse. If those threats fail, their surrogates will try old-fashioned physical threats as well.
We need to be out in the streets. We need protests out there every single day.
Now, remember what I said back in January of 2019? About Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. I think it's a mistake for conservatives not to take her seriously, to brush her off as kind of a flash in the pan or an upstart. She's as close to a thought leader that the Democratic Party has today. This entire unhinged response to the RBG replacement is being driven by the far left of the party, AOC plus three, plus whoever else she's going to drag along with her. Biden was basically hiding most of the weekend. The man doesn't even know what to do. Surely the leader of the Senate Democrats isn't appearing with a freshman congresswoman on a matter that the House has zero authority over? Maybe he wouldn't do that, right, Chuck Schumer? Oh, yes, he would.
Would you be in support of potentially renewing talks of an impeachment hearing, either against the Attorney General or the President?
We must consider, again, all of the tools available to our disposal, and that all of these options should be entertained and on the table.
Schumer's embarrassing himself, but so is everyone else in the party. They're so obsessed with beating Trump and his voters that they're willing to destroy our entire system of checks and balances to do so, allowing the radical left to call all the shots. And we predicted it here on The Angle. Poor Biden, he can't get control of these people. He's just an empty vessel to be filled with radical policies by radical politicians who hate our history, hate most of our traditions, and hate most of our people. He's too weak to control the young Bolsheviks. He doesn't have the sharpness to redirect their efforts. And now his entire party is going off the rails. The real choice in this election has nothing to do with Biden. It's a choice between President Trump and the hard left. And this confirmation battle will show us just how crazy the other side is. Republicans are doing what they've promised to do for decades, to put originalists and textualists on the court. We've never proposed packing the court or trying to add new states. Those threats are only coming from one side. The Democrat Party is no longer the party of Clint or even of Obama, for that matter. It's the abortion party. It's AOC's party. And for that, they're willing to destroy everything we Americans built together over 244 years. One issue. Let that sink in for a moment. And that's The Angle.
Okay, very good. That's pretty clear. But at every level, the only campaigning mega destructive device in America is the Democrats, and they're on to destroy everything in America like we have on the left in Britain. But the Republicans, I mean, they seem to be mute, absolutely muted, like you mute your computer. At every single level. But one very good article by Mike Adams today said COVID-19 infection of President Trump instantly ends the hoax narrative that's been pushed by the alternative right independent media since March of this year. And he goes on to explain that in detail. He said in early March of this year, alternative right independent media outlets and conservative pundits started claiming that coronavirus was a hoax. Well, it's not a hoax. We know that. It's not a hoax, but exaggerated. They insisted it was no worse than the flu and claimed no one was really dying from COVID. Well, very few are. Some publishers and platforms still claim there's no such thing as a coronavirus and that all supposed sicknesses is caused solely by cell towers. Well, that it does exacerbate it. I mean, hold on a minute here. During this time, Natural News has worked tirelessly to try to educate people on the basis of mathematics, statistics, science, and virology, encouraging conservatives to take this pandemic seriously. We were highly critical of President Trump's dismissal of the virus in February, March, and April, and we warned that if it didn't take the pandemic seriously, he would lose the November election. But instead of taking it seriously, nearly the entire industry of conservative and independent media decided to start attacking masks as dangerous, and they are, while claiming the virus was harmless, while we oppose mandatory masks, well, thank you for that, we always suppose voluntary mask wearing in shared air environments, such as elevators, grocery stores, public transportation. Yet the independent media turned against masks and began to invoke the most ridiculous arguments against them, claiming masks can help anyone can't help anyone under the circumstances, should be rejected. Well, they're pretty useless, that's for sure. And they exacerbate your bronchial problems. Anything to do with lungs and throat, it exacerbates the illness. It says, indie media outlets have long claimed that all the deaths were faked and no one really died. No. They didn't. That's not fair. At the same time, the usual suspects across independent conservative media began claiming almost no one really died from COVID. repeating himself, the act. They achieved this by twisting the lying about CDC numbers to falsely distort the conclusions. Fox News even ran a graphic rooted in mathematical ignorance, see below, that misrepresented the real risk of COVID deaths two orders of magnitude, a factor of 100. But Fox is too stupid to do maths, and nobody was surprised. Despite the bad maths, independent media outlets ran with the Fox graphic because they were too stupid to fact-check anything and too enthusiastic to claim the virus was a hoax. Nobody on RBN said it was a hoax, all while falsely claiming the CDC admitted only 6% of COVID deaths were actually COVID deaths. Well, they did that after claiming 94% were. Again, they know nothing about epidemiology, mathematical ethics, statistics, so they leap to whatever conclusion they want to push. Facts be damned. Again, I try to educate them about real science, but they weren't interested. See my story in independent media. Month after month, we watched as many of the top independent media publishers continue to claim the coronavirus was a hoax. Well, he's trashed that to death. We dealt with that. But the CDC data gave Trump a 5.4% chance of dying from COVID. Even more wrongly, conservative alternative right media publishers are also mathematically illiterate, suffering from stupid 19, that they still don't have any clue about Trump's real chances of dying from the infection. According to the CDC's newly released data, which were widely misrepresented by independent media, Trump has a 5.4% chance of dying from this infection, as he is 70% plus. Okay, you might argue that Trump is obviously receiving better medical care than the average nursing home resident, but on the negative side, Trump is already symptomatic, and the 5.4% fatality rate concerns people who are also asymptomatic, meaning that symptomatic people have already progressed further than the risk spectrum. Thus, there is a very real chance, about 1 in 20, that Trump dies from COVID. I see. But because they can't do the maths, most conservative pundits think Trump's chances of dying are 0.044%. That's equivalent to about 1 in 1,850. But the real risk is in 1 in 18. So conservatives have no idea how to grave the risk really is because they can't do the maths. They think, it needs a lot of explaining. Trump's chance of dying is essentially zero. They aren't. Trump's chance of dying are shockingly high, given how much is riding on his survival, i.e. the very future of our nation, perhaps the free world. Still, to this day, conservative pundits and alternative right media publishers refuse to take this seriously. Even for people in the high-risk 70-plus age group, their capacity for self-deception is nothing short of stunning. And the final few paragraphs. Modern doctors are so brainwashed by Big Pharma, they might accidentally kill Trump with drug interventions. Of course, Trump could easily be saved by consuming chlorine dioxide. C-102. I've talked to somebody about that, which unleashes a flood of usable oxygen in the blood. But the medical doctors of our era are ignorant and brainwashed by Big Pharma, sure. So they're treating Trump mostly with drugs that will likely harm him. Never forget that George Washington was killed by the doctors of his era, too, who kept leading him out to eliminate evil spirits. Yes, George Washington was killed by medical doctors. Eventually, he didn't have enough blood remaining to fight the infection, and he died. That took place in an era before the discovery of germs and microbiology. Yet what's especially ironic is that today, in 2020, we still have a conservative media pundits and publishers who also don't believe in the germ theory. They claim that there is no virus and that COVID-19 is a hoax. It makes me wonder, if they were in charge of treating Trump, would they bleed him to death too? Final line. Here's the graphic that Fox News recently published, which understates the COVID death risk by two orders of magnitude, even while the CDC. Well, we're all bombed with bad statistics, like in Britain with this guy, Ferguson, who absolutely, totally tosser, 1,200% wrong in estimating what the death rate could be. And that's why we were in a lockdown. And the graph he's showing is wrong. so I won't read it out. As I explained in this recent Natural News article, Fox News is run by mathematically illiterate morons who took the CDC's risk factor numbers and just slapped a percentage sign on the end, oblivious to how numbers work. The real risk of death from COVID-19 in people 70-plus years, according to the CDC, is 5.4%, not 0.054%. Right? But as I have also repeatedly pointed out, trying to teach conservative pundits mathematics is like trying to teach pigeons to play chess. They don't even have the neurology to handle it. Notice, he says, importantly, that the ratio numbers do not contain percentage signs. That's because they are ratios, not percentages. I see. It's like people don't understand risk and betting. I don't understand odds. As anyone who isn't an idiot already knows, the ratio of 1.0 means 100%. Similarly, a ratio of 0.5 means 50%. Therefore, a ratio of 0.54 means 5.4%. I see. Anyway, the fate of America now rests on a bunch of big pharma brainwashed doctors and a bioweapon launched by China to target human beings, and the independent media remains in total denial. Yeah, that's what I said to open the program today with, that resveratrol, whatever you call it, is an experimental drug. That's what he's been given. And Adams is highly trained in laboratory qualifications, but he's talking about chlorine dioxide, C102. I hope he's got that right. Gives a rush of oxygen into the body. That is what's needed. But it's an oxygen depriving virus bioweapon. We know that. That is what it is. That is actually what it is. And the American people have become too dumbed down to navigate any of the attacks that are being unleashed against them, whether biological, electromagnetic, geopolitical, via disinformation attacks. The end result is no longer in doubt. As I called in 2 years ago in my podcast, stating that America, as you know it, will cease to exist by 2025. And many of those who claim to be fighting to defend America are actually accelerating its demise through their stupidity and ignorance. Coincidentally, most of the people will be dead by 2025 as well, because they refuse to prepare for reality and they refuse to take vaccinations. Don't be among the soon to be dead. Don't fall into a trap of popular idiocy. Your very survival now depends on your ability to think for yourself while approaching the threat against humanity. Okay, that's suitable. It just ended at the right time. We go to this break. We'll be back in a few minutes.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.